Sam Hardiman is an enterprise reporter for the Daily Memphian. Subscribe, of course, to the Daily Memphian. He joins us every Wednesday on the show. And he joins us now. Sam, we have a lot to touch on. We have moratoriums on data centers getting passed through. We have Mid-South Coliseum. We actually just...
Do we, John? Do we have a moratorium on data centers?
A first reading.
There's not a legal one in Memphis today.
A first reading.
Sorry.
Yes. No, I appreciate the clarification. But we just spent our first hour on the Mid-South Coliseum. And I am just curious, you know, you are someone who did not grow up here, so you probably do not have the same connection as many or some do or whatever the number is. But just as someone who moved to Memphis, what do you think when you hear passion and you see that there's a conservancy group about a building that has not been in operation and use for 20 years?
I mean, you're asking me what I think of people and really caring about it. I think, look, people, you know, we're given finite days in this world and we all choose to do with them what we will. And I mean, I think they really are passionate from what I've observed in all my years reporting in Memphis. And that's what I got.
So it seemed like, and I don't know if you were there for it or not, but it seemed like
I watched it. Yes.
Oh, okay,
yes, I was in the city council room for it. Yes.
So it seemed like maybe there was a little bit of misrepresentation from some of the reporting that I saw. I won't ask you to speak to that, but just tell us sort of what went down with Corey Strong and the Memphis City Council yesterday.
Yeah, I don't want to say misrepresentation, right? Like, I think, like, what I want to say, because I've been trying to think of, like, what I want to talk about with the Mid-South Coliseum, I don't mean this in a bad way to anybody, but, like, I think there just needs to be some more literacy about what city government can do. And honestly, just some more understanding when, like, we're talking about stuff like this, like, what are people really asking for? Because what was being asked for yesterday was a detailed presentation for really expansive, ambitious plans for the Mid-South Coliseum with essentially an ask of $200,000 from the city of Memphis to study the environmental situation in the building. And so essentially what this was an ask for city money for further $200,000 to look at a city asset. That's what this was. And yes, the city council was all in agreement. They would love to see this plan come to pass, but that doesn't cost the city council anything. The city council is the appropriating body for the city of Memphis, which means they control the purse strings. They allocate the money. And so if it was within the city of Memphis City Council could still do this. They could, you know, say, hey, we want this to happen. They can't direct the city department, but they can, you know, put money in the budget for it. And so they haven't done that yet. And they could amend a budget. They could put it in a future budget. That's all possible. But, like, I think people need to, you know, remember that, like, you know, reacting to it on the internet, like, the Mid-South Coliseum, like you said, John, touches something for this city, for this community, because it represents so much. It represents some of the greatest, probably, memories that many people have. And that's – I'm not poo-pooing that. This isn't Sam Hardiman poo-pooing anything. What I'm trying to say, I guess, is unless someone has real amounts of money to the $10 to $15 million range to knock it down or to remediate it or whatever, I mean, that's a real amount of money. Like, it's going to take millions of dollars to do anything meaningful to that piece of land, into that building, if it can be done. And so for people to react on the internet and act like this is coming back, it's not coming back. There is no plan today there's no capital today from the city of Memphis to move this thing forward. And so that's what I would say. I really want to leave it there because I don't want to sound like I'm poo-pooing the passions of people who really want to see this thing revived. It's just more of like the situation on the ground in Memphis, Tennessee today is that there is no money and there is no real city plan to rejuvenate that building. And the city of Memphis owns that building. And so unless the city of Memphis has money or a plan to do something with it, anyone else's request of the city Memphis City Council is just a request.
And there were no Liberty Park dollars going into any part of – just clarify that for me, Sam, just for me.
I mean,
city's underwater on Liberty Park.
That's a really great question.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is a really great question. So this is – again, the Mid-South Coliseum is city-owned land within what is known as the Liberty Park Tourism Development Zone. The Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium, though it is now owned by the University of Memphis and its affiliates, is still within that qualified public development zone, which means that Liberty Park dollars, money that could, you know, that the city has the ability to borrow against Liberty Park, essentially. Yep. It could be used for the Mid-South Coliseum. It could be. I'm not exactly sure, and I would have to look at the documents, if the Mid-South Coliseum right now is what is known as a qualified public use facility, which would be, which is how you are allowed to use dollars for it. I genuinely don't know. I mean, this would literally be me just searching my computer to find out. But, like, again, that's not something that's being proposed today. Yeah. It's something that's maybe possible in the future. But, again, like, the city has put in the tens of millions that they've put into Liberty Park. They've not put any money into the Mid-South Coliseum.
Right. Yeah. And that's
like, and they've been doing Liberty Park for almost 10 years. That should tell people something.
Yeah. And and as you point out in the budget, in the Memphis budget, there was no money for the study or the park, or excuse me, not the park, but the Mid-South Coliseum at all. It can be amended, as you point out, at any time by a majority of 7, but it does feel like we have more pressing needs than although I would like to see it. This is me saying it. I'd like to see it torn down. I don't even need anything on the other side of it. I don't need, like, oh, you know, that's the thing people get kind of caught up in is, like, oh, there has to be a hotel or a movie theater. No, I don't need anything. Just tear it down because it doesn't serve any purpose by standing there. And I think it's honestly a bad look for the city that it is allowed to stand there after 20 years of no use. Okay, there were some other local news yesterday, which is that a first reading of a moratorium on the data center passed through Memphis City Council. What does that mean for data centers? What does this process sort of look like from here, Sam?
Yeah, I got no idea what it means for data centers, John, and I'm not trying to be flippant because, you know, yesterday the city council finally posted the ordinance that they passed on first reading. So typically I just want to explain to people, like, I've been covering Memphis City Council for 8 years. And every Friday before the Tuesday meeting, they post the agenda and typically post, you know, hundreds of pages worth of documents accompanying the items that are going to be discussed. And so it's pretty typical when there's a new ordinance that you just see the text of the ordinance. That wasn't the case with this data center moratorium ordinance. That ordinance got posted online late yesterday afternoon, really right before the city council discussed it. And so I read that ordinance quickly, and when we're done, I'm going to post a link to it so people can read it for themselves. But the ordinance is very broad, and I'm not a lawyer. I don't play one on TV, but it's a very broad ordinance, and it says a lot of things about data centers. And people should go read our work at dailymemphian.com. But I quoted City Councilman Ford Canale, who runs the city's Planning and Zoning Committee, which governs zoning cases, okay? So they handle every zoning case that comes through the city council. And he isn't sure it's legal. City council member Janika White asked Alan Wade, who's the city council's attorney, if it was legal. And he told her question was premature. He didn't answer it. Wow. He just said it was premature. And so, like, that's what I want to say to people. Like, there are two more readings, I'm sorry. Ordinances, again, as someone who watches this process, the thing that was put online, and again, I'm going to share a link to it right after we get off here. The thing that was put online yesterday is not going to be the thing that passes, if it passes in, you know, a month or so. And so I think people, again, this is about, like, I'm not trying to, like, be critical of anything. I want to be careful. I just, like, as someone who, like, cares about civic engagement, I just think it's really important for people to realize that if you, like, haven't seen the document and haven't read the document, it's really, like these things important. The details of this really matter. There are ways to ban data centers that are quite, and again, I'm not a lawyer, but someone who watches local government, that are pretty easy to do, that don't involve the omnibus approach that the ordinance right now has. And so that's what I would say. That's where data centers stand right now is I don't know. I think that, like, right now there you can build a data center in Memphis, Tennessee. And when we're talking about data centers, like, I think we've entered this conversation. I also want to stop where, like, this phone call could be in part powered by data centers. The streaming that you guys are doing right now of your broadcast is powered by data centers, right? Like, data centers are ubiquitous in our lives. Like, we live off the cloud, right? The podcast episode that gets uploaded is going to a data center. That's what's happening when this is over. And but like, what we're talking about here is the big artificial intelligence data centers that gobble water and electricity. And where those stand today, I don't know, in Memphis, Tennessee.
Sam, I just want you to know that last week we had members of other media outlets asking, when is Sam Hardiman going to run? Holding you accountable, pointing out that John has now been back to work for over a month, and they're looking you to follow through on the promise that was Sam Hardiman in the
40.
Yes, in the 40. And so whether it's in the shadows of a data center, in the shadows of a Mid-South Coliseum, in a parking lot or on a field, we want to know, Sam, has the training resumed and when we might see this 40? Because John's back. We're ready.
No, absolutely. I want to be clear that I do need to be accountable. I do need to run this 40. I have not forgotten I've told the public I can do. There have been some injuries. I just want to be clear in this process, this training process at 33 years old. There have been some injuries. We're back now. We're back working. But there was some hamstring trouble, I will say.
Those can be tricky, Sam, as you know. Don't come back too early.
That's what we were doing. Okay. We were taking some time off. But now, you know, training camp has resumed. And I look forward to following up. I'm going to tell a certain Tigers beat reporter for the commercial appeal. I want him to be there. And you know what? We may even do this in the shadow of the Mid-South Coliseum. I mean, it's public land. I'm sure we can do it.
Yes.
Let's just do it. Yeah. Like, why not? Like, let's do it there.
There's a practice field right outside the MSEC that is actually in the shadows of the Mid-South Coliseum. And I think it's that soft turf stuff. You could actually do it there for real.
Let's do it there. Let's we talk enough about Liberty Park. Let's do something.
Yes.
All right.
Yes. You could just run it in the thing. Right.
If you guys handle the logistics, give me a couple of dates. Like, let's do it. We'll make it content for the people.
Oh, absolutely. I think that'd be the first. It'd be the first action the Mid-South Coliseum has got since they opened it up to let people come in there and take some floorboards out like 4 or 5 years ago. So I do think we have to move your number to 4-1, though. I do think that the sharp money has come in on the no. What did you say? What was the number? Under 5?
Yeah.
Under 5 seconds. Yeah, I think you're now 4-1 to run it under 5, given your injuries. Yeah.
Okay.
I think.
I accept it. I accept those odds. I just, you know, I'll – John, my offer to you still stands.
I mean,
you know, it's interest.
I hope you're not sandbagging me with the
quote
unquote
injuries. Money, John. I mean, it's like Mark Walters' float. It's like how the Dodgers might be funded.
I didn't know. Has anybody ever seen you run? Has Jonah Dillon seen you run?
He seemed confident for Sam.
No. Okay. No one has seen me run.
Okay. I'd like to talk to somebody that's seen you do some sort of physical activity before I book you, but.
Well, actually, you know someone who knows how far I can hit a golf ball. So, you know, do some research and figure that out.
You probably tweeted him today. But hitting a golf ball is not running.
It's not running.
So
no, it's not. But it's just, you know, anyway, we'll digress. All right?
Okay, all right. Yeah. I'll do some research. I'll do some recon around here. But I think 4-1 is a fair price based on your injury and your age. And the fact that you kind of have seemed to have given up on the enterprise altogether, I think 4-1 is a fair number. We look forward to timing it. So, all right, man, have a great week.
Thank you for this, Sam.
Thanks, guys.
Yep. He is Sam Hardiman, enterprise reporter for the Daily Memphian. Yeah. Five is what like offensive linemen run for comparison's sake. So it is doable, but, you know, if you got injuries, you got hamstring, you haven't really been training for it.
I mean, he's a smaller dude, average-sized guy.
Right. Strides are a little.
So, yeah. I don't know. It's comparing him to an offensive lineman. I don't. Yeah, can you make that comparison? Offensive linemen are moving a lot of weight there.
They are.
Sam's not. I realize it's shorter strides. You know, more average sized man here, but he's moving with far less, John.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just saying. You know,
he sounds awfully confident about this.
The average. I don't know what the average man runs. You know.
I mean, Brady was over a five, right? Coming out of Michigan.
Yeah, he was.
So I'm assuming average man going to be around something like that, something lower around that, you know, because that was slow. He was still a football player at Michigan.
Okay, so speaking of data centers, for an average, this is from ChatGPT, for an average adult man who doesn't specifically train for sprinting, a 40-yard dash is roughly 5.5 to 6 seconds.
Told you.
So. You know, there's
and he's saying under five.
He's saying under five. If you run it under five, ChatGPT says you are considered an athletic adult male.
That's what he wants us. That's what he wants to be known as. It's clear when he comes through a winner in this thing.
Right.
An athletic adult male that can hit a golf ball a long way and run a sub 540.
Brad, what do you
and report on the council?
What do you think you could run in a four? If 4.9 to 5.2 seconds is an athletic adult male, what do you think you're coming in at?
Really slow.
Give me a second. What do you think you're running?
It probably between a 5.2, 5.3, 5.4.
I feel like it's ridiculous to ask us as us 50-year-olds.
And also,
like, it's you and Sam that this shit up. We're past our prime. I'm
35.
No. But I would also say I have because of like last year, I had some work done on a nerve. I no longer go full blast on things. Hey, I have to
moderate.
You're
going to pull a hamstring at your age.
Even if I stretched for half an hour, you will learn this, John. I think I'm invincible. I walked in here today. I feel great. I'm glad I feel healthy. Like, health is everything at 50.
Health is wealth, yes.
I walk a lot. I walk 10,000 steps a day. I walk in the middle of the day around this office park. But I've learned something. I can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
I would have to stretch for 30 minutes, and even then I'd be scared I'd pull something.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, I know, you know, you always want to look at me as young, man, but I'm 35.
Bro, it's the same age as Sam. What do you say, 33?
Yeah.
I mean, you got those.
But I'm not trying
to
run.
You guys are right there at the edge where you're still willing to test it. You want to see if you've still got it, as you did when you were in your 20s and in your prime athletically.
I know at 35 I don't have it.
Maybe you should be able to cook,
though. Late 20s.
You should still be able to cook.
You were out there hooping with these folks. What are you talking about?
Occasionally.
You're playing in leagues all over town. Tell me your league. I'll show up and play. What are you talking about now? Act
man,
like
that
you graduated.
Was when we got the show. I can't do that no more.
My point isn't so much what you – it's that those questions should go to folks still in their mid-30s.
Right.
Maybe once you get to 40 mid-30s. And you start asking us 50-year-olds, what can we run it in?
I think we need to cut it off before mid-30s, though, because there ain't nobody out here. And there's very few NBA players mid-30s, very few NFL players mid-30s. We probably got to cut it off at, like, 30.
I feel like a lot of those Tiger basketball players are right there at their early 30s or mid-30s now, and some of them would tell you, you know, they still want to be in shape. They're not average men, but a lot of those guys are around that age now. Some of them you still see them playing in these adult leagues or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe it should be younger.
Yeah.
I get how you feel. But I think the majority of men are still telling themselves, I'm in my prime in their early 30s, maybe up to mid-30s. But once you get up into those 40s, you can't even say that anymore and look at yourself in the mirror and know that you're not lying to yourself.
Where you get in trouble is you get a guy like Sam, let's say he was 50, and he gets out there, he stretches a little bit, and he goes and hauls ass, and you see what happens. A lot of times that's where damage happens because somebody's not trained and prepared.
Well,
I think
he might pull something if he's not careful.
You got to be careful.
He's already
trying to get
it.
Yeah, I mean, I think – I mean, would I like to – I would like to believe that I could come in under a six.
Oh, absolutely, you get under a six. You would probably be a five, John. If I had to see you just put some track shoes on and get flat, you'd get a five.
I'd like to be able to believe that, but I have no way of knowing, you know. And if I do run a five, that'd be athletic adult male. 5.3 to 5.5 is above average. 5.6 to 6 is typical reasonably fit man. 6.1 to 6.5 is below average speed. And then 6.5 or more is slow/deconditioned.
Yeah, I'm probably in that 5.5 to 6 then. I'm not as high as I thought I was.
One thing you don't ever want to be is deconditioned. That's just a terrible thing to be. But y'all, you know, don't kill yourself out there. Don't do it. So
especially today.
But again, who knows? ChatGPT said, if you're wondering what a good 40 time would be for a 35-year-old man, I'd put sub 5.5 as legitimately pretty fast. and sub 5.2 as very fast for the general population.
Hmm. So Sam is trying to go very, very fast at under 5.
Yes.
In his early 30s.
Very fast.
Pretty much very, very fast.
He probably would.
Very fast is 5.2.
Yeah. Well,
at least from the court of this person on a 35-year-old.
Yes.
Said Sam's 33. Or am I making that up? I thought he said
he
early.
He 33, yeah.
He'd hit it.
So it's not too far off. Yeah. There. He's saying he can be very, very fast or very if you cut it down to 32.
Right.
That 5.
Yeah, yeah.
Is very fast.
I mean, basically, okay, so here's the thing. If he runs under a 5, which would put him, like, realistically 4.6 to 4.8, ChatGPT describes that as a very fast athlete.
He has track speed, college track speed.
If he
I'm starting to think if he can run that.
I think
at his age.
Yeah.
He's pretty light, too. He's Sam, by the way, if you look at a picture of him, which we just posted, he's a fit dude. Even at 33, I actually would give him the benefit of the doubt. I would assume he trained.
I think it's extremely unlikely.
Did he run track in high school and college?
Did he do any sports in high school?
Have we asked him that?
Yeah. I think it's extremely unlikely.
I think we might have asked him that when he brought this proposal up, and he might have said no. But yeah. I feel like
did he play any sports?
I feel like he knows. Like he either trained running whatever else, but he's got a pretty good idea because you're talking pretty darn fast.
Yeah, I did,
at his age. Now.
I did get a message actually. I'm not going to name the person, but somebody who does know him that said Sammy is pretty quick.
Yep,
he can probably run a 5.2. Take his money.
Oh.
That's really good information. Sounds like somebody that knows him pretty good.
But 5.2 is not 5.
But then understands that a sub 5, 40 is fast.
You're hauling ass.
And especially in your 30s.
Very much so.
Incredible.
And especially for a non-athlete. Yes. Just that we're not former football, former basketball players.
Yes. Right.
So that's somebody pretty smart there.
4-1 might be a little short. It might need to be like 7-1.
Take his money. They
9-1. Because
we've got an insider.
Yeah, I mean, we initially said it at 3-1.
Well, and you had a very interested Tigers football beat writer last week.
And now he's got an injury on top of it. Don't forget.
That's a problem.
He's now got the hamstring injury.
That's a big problem.
So I don't think he's running a 4. I don't think he's running a sub 5. I just don't.
Yeah, I think I'm with you.
I think he can run a respectable 5.5.
I think that's probably 5.5, 5.2.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's respectable. Yeah. There's nothing to be ashamed of there.
You better wait till it cools down a little bit. He's going to fall out there. I'm going to have an umbrella watching y'all fools right out there running around 30-something years old.
Yeah,
I'm going to be out there in this heat.
I mean, this show, every so often, we'll do something like that. Don't forget we had the Hash Brown Challenge.
That was something.
Yeah.
You know, and
it was a failure.
It was a strategic mistake is what that was. You know, you tried to go for everything at once. It was, you went for the home run. You didn't try to hit the base hit.
Really was.
And
just not an eater like Gabe, you know, who can do those things with
Gabe's
chestnut.
An eater.
He's an animal.
He's an eater.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, look at him. He is a massive human.
To be able to do it, and then the stomach to be able to pull it away.
Awesome.
The body.
Yeah.
The frame.
No, he's an impressive specimen for
he
that.
He can do that type of stuff.
I think Gabe could.
Not me.
Gabe could
average
do that.
Man.
What did you say? You could eat 25 hash browns?
That was the.
How many did you get down?
None.
We didn't get through 5 because I tried to eat them all at the same time. A huge strategic mistake, as John
damn.
Said. I'm not a professional eater and made a very a big blunder early that Joey Chestnut and them would have been
that's
shaking
crazy
their
that
heads
you're calling Gabe
like
an eater.
Like this damn fool. I think Gabe's done a couple of these now, hasn't he? So I think you qualify as an eater.
You guys stop saying that, bro.
He's an eater. He is an eater. He would call himself an eater.
John
he loves
has
food.
A problem hearing the word. It's literally it's
no. It's
like,
not. It's not an EEO. You know, it's not a work faux pas. He's.
No, I know it's not a work faux pas. But if you say somebody's an eater, you know that's what you describe like honeys. You know what I mean? Like she's an eater.
Oh.
Jason knows that. Jason,
I don't know what you're talking
where
about.
Where are
I'm
we going?
Talking about what he does to wings and the munching he does.
Yes.
On
Jason, he's called Gabe an eater. And you're like, oh, he's an eater.
They put an APB out from the Redbirds to have a bit at AutoZone, and he couldn't wait to get down there to take on Chestnut.
He enjoys it.
Loves it.
Right. It's hard for your average.
I got another message. I got another message about Sam Hardiman. I'm not going to name people. I played 2 rounds of golf with Sam. Apparently, he's just playing golf every day.
Yeah, recreational.
I played 2 rounds of golf with Sam. Does not translate to sprinting, but I would bet against a sub 5. 5 to 5.5 would be my bet. Also saw him try things thinking he could do it and didn't have a good chance. Not scared to challenge himself and fail.
Oh. Well, I've lost all hope.
This dude's overconfident in the stuff he likes to try. He puts it out there and then fails, apparently.
What's he doing? What's he like, Red Panda? What's he like, getting on a unicycle and trying to juggle plates?
No, he's like, I think I can stand standing long jump 6 feet here. Who's with me? It's just weird. Yeah. So now, I see sort of more learning more about Sam.
He said, you know.
Yeah,
he sets the bar.
Sam is a character.
He pushes himself.
I enjoy his statement. It's like the McNeil Lair report when you talk to Sam from public television. Like it is poker. It is sport almost.
No, let me be clear. I am
respect.
I'm always afraid to ask Sam a question during the segment because
no opinions.
I don't know what he's going to say. I
love him. He's
pushes
great.
Himself physically.
Yeah,
you have to respect that.
And Gabe's an eater. That's crazy.
I don't think it's crazy. That's a fact.
I mean, I think we should ask Gabe if he's okay with that.
Bro, he's self-proclaimed.
Are you a self-proclaimed eater?
Yes.
Oh, my.
He was the one who jumped at the chestnut challenge.
That's crazy. That's a crazy
thing. If I'm not mistaken, he's done a couple of
contests.
He loves that
but,
stuff.
But wouldn't it be like more like a professional food?
It's not professional.
Okay, like an aspiring.
You're getting paid for that.
Right. An amateur. An amateur food
amateur eater.
Competitor. Amateur eater? That's crazy.
I see. It really makes you giddy saying it.
I'm so sorry, Gabe. I'm so sorry for that, dude. We'll come back. Lots more to come. There is a...
Somebody else plays tennis with Sam. How many damn people does
he
play with?
What the hell is he doing?
Somebody just hit us up. They play tennis with Sam.
I want to know.
People are lying now, surely.
Yeah.
Sam can't play with golf and tennis and run with all y'all now. All right? Everybody seems against him, though.
Man, recreational.
Against running the sub-5, so.
I just got an Instagram DM says they went to the Purple Diamond with Sam. I'm just kidding. they said he ran out of there so fast. They said once they came, he got the dance, and they came for the tip. He ran out of there so fast. They said it was a 4-2. I'm just joking, Sam. Sam is a married man.
Is he married? I didn't know that.
I believe he is. Yes.
I thought he was single.
Anyway, thanks to Sam Hardiman for joining us on the show. I got to tell you guys about this. At least let you guys hear this strength conditioning pregame speech from Colorado. It might be the nail in the coffin for Deion. I'll let you guys take a listen and be the judge when we get back. J&J, 92.9 FM, yes. All right, welcome back, J&J, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Jason Fitz is going to join us at 11:25. Looking forward to catching up with him. I want to ask him about Pat McAfee, who is going to join the Monday Night Countdown studio show for ESPN this season, which means you're going to get Pat McAfee everywhere you look this season. You better learn to love it because he's going to be, there's a tweet that says, you wake up and open DraftKings. You hammer the Pat McAfee featured parlay like normal. You turn on ESPN and watch Pat McAfee debate AI Pat McAfee. During the 16 straight commercials, you play the new Pat McAfee album, Banger. You DoorDash the new Pat McAfee meal. Life is good.
Orlowski said the album is good, basically.
He did, yeah.
Y'all have heard some of it?
Oh, I've heard it.
I haven't heard it.
Okay, the way you're laughing.
It's a joke. It's like,
no, I haven't.
It's a joke.
John is not co-signing. It's like, Brad has not heard it. Yeah, I have not heard it.
Bro country, like.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, it was country music is what Orlowski said, right? Okay.
I mean, it's like, I can't believe somebody didn't stop him from doing this. What in the world is going on? So, yeah, he's.
Marshawn had a clever line, said ESPN's motto is serving sports fans anytime, anywhere. It may soon be serving Pat McAfee anytime, anywhere. Pretty good lead.
Yeah.
Pretty good lead.
Yeah.
Along the lines of what you said there. I guess we should have known when he got the 60 to 65 million that they were going to use him everywhere they possibly could, right?
Yep.
That's the money that he's getting from ESPN in terms of that deal that The Athletic had reported about, 60 to 65 million per year. That would include a bigger role in the network's NFL coverage. They're going to put him everywhere they can. Keep in mind, they use him on game day, too. He's the new Lee Corso in the sense he's the one that gets the crowd going. And he does it in a much, more methodical way. He's got that WWE style and can get a young crowd rolling.
Yep.
Whereas, Herb Street and Dez can't do that.
Yep.
That's what McAfee does for college game day, and now he's bringing that to the, I'm assuming he's going to bring some of that to this NFL stage.
Yep.
On Monday Night Football.
So anyway, we'll talk to Fitz about that at 11:25. I did want to let you hear a speech that the Colorado strength. Of course, we don't see as much of Deion Sanders anymore. And I saw There was a report yesterday that the audience in 2023 for Deion games collapsed. Like, it's only a third of that audience in 2025, as recently as 2025 for Colorado. So it took the college football world by storm, and, you know, I guess because it hasn't been what everybody thought it could be, although it hasn't been. I guess last year was pretty bad because they didn't have Shador, but it was pretty good with Shador. It was pretty
still better than what it was before he got there.
Yeah, for sure.
But yes, we said after your kids are gone, what's it going to look like then?
Right. We're trying to figure that out now. Yeah. It hasn't looked good, but he hired a strength coach from Canada, and she you know, they do lots of personal documentation, you know, with the team there, and I'm just curious to get your thoughts on this pre-practice speech from the strength coach at Colorado.
Do your job and do it well and do it with pride. You guys all have one of the most known logos in college football. Be proud of that, because I sure as hell am. I'll tell you what, when I go home, and keep in mind, fellas, my family's from Canada. They know who you guys are. And football ain't like that in Canada. But they know who you are. And when I talk about y'all, goddamn, I talk about y'all with great pride, because guess what? I don't do this for the love of the game. I do this for the love of y'all. And I do this because I want to see y'all be successful on that field.
Do you want to run through a wall? This speech is getting absolutely roasted all over
social
media.
I'm sure it is. Man.
It is getting destroyed.
Them letting that get out.
Yes.
I would say is their own fault.
They put it out. I guess Deion Sanders Jr. is, you know.
So is that part of his documentary, or is that part of does he work for Colorado football?
It's like Buff
and he's
Media.
Putting it out?
Yeah.
Yeah. Poor optically, not knowing how that's going to come across.
Yeah. It's tough. And that's her thing. Like, her thing, she's I think her name is Morgan Cote with Colorado, and you know, her big thing is motivate. That's her big. But I think we fell short there a little bit. And she's the assistant strength and conditioning coach. I don't think she's the main one. She's the assistant. So, you know what? She'll learn from this. There's no doubt. I mean, speeches are hard to give. Josh Pastor didn't give a great speech before the Virginia game.
No, I would tell you it was one of his weaknesses. I don't know if it got better at Georgia Tech and if it's gotten, you know, better since then, but I would tell you it was one of his weaknesses. Not that you necessarily have to be that guy. Bruce Pearl's good at it, right? We don't know that his son, Steve, is. You know, maybe it's something you can't necessarily hand down. Not everybody's, you know, not everybody can give you the old Nick Saban rah-rah, go run through a brick wall.
Yeah, that's true. But that one is like people are.
The whole we're from Canada, I think, too, is something she might want to look at adjusting in the future when she's.
Do they say y'all in Canada?
Well, you know.
Do they?
She's kind of pulling a Brian Kelly here a little bit, too.
I don't do this for the love of the game. I do this for the love of y'all.
Like, you're from Canada, eh? I mean, there's a little bit of code switching going
on,
too.
Yeah, I mean, and that's part of it. You know, you have to kind of be willing.
My son would call it that.
That's what it is. I mean, it's definitely.
He'd be like, yo, man.
It's definitely some code switching. But, you know, she's trying to come across.
Well, I would say it's probably very hard for women trainers in men's sports, period.
Yes.
To motivate anything else. So I'm not knocking her attempts or what she's done in the past or anything else. It's just, again, the optics of Colorado football, which has gotten weaker now over the last couple of years. Reading a story right now about how viewership at ESPN is down 4.1 million viewers since when they first started. We knew they were they couldn't do enough, Deion. It was sort of like McAfee. We're going to put everything on because everyone is watching, and you've lost that luster. But and when you put in this motivational speech in there, it sort of adds to that narrative because it wasn't the greatest speech. That said, I tip my cap to what she's trying to do in certainly a men's world. But this ain't going to make it any easier. Let me tell you that right here.
Well, no,
you know, having this criticism, this going as far out as it did, you know, hopefully she's ready to.
Oh, this is a career killer.
I mean, don't look at your phone.
No.
If you want to stay in this business and everything else.
And, you know, she just sounded so nervous, you know, like you can kind of hear it in her voice.
It was weird, almost like a first one. That's what I want, almost like a first one. So, you know, her credentials, that's Dion hiring her. Is this her first year? It can't be her first year.
I think it is, yeah.
First year, not first year doing it.
No, not first year doing it.
Surely Dion's not bringing you in to train these men.
Yeah, that's a tough
young
one.
Young men.
Tough one, man.
So, yeah, that was rough. That was rough to listen to.
We're gonna recover, I think. But it's, you know, we'll hopefully be able to look back one day and laugh is what I would say.
Dion hasn't been the same, it doesn't seem, since the last story I read when I was paying attention is his health problems.
Well, and, I mean, how can you be?
Right? Yeah.
You don't even know when you're gonna be.
That's hard.
When you're able to stand in front of people, or you got to run off. And I know he's got he's pushed the depends thing now.
That was the big thing.
That's raising some awareness for some of us. But I imagine that's hard as a leader to do when you can't trust yourself and trust your body in terms of when you're going to be out in front of folks and those kinds of things. So I imagine it makes the job much tougher to do. He's probably got all kinds of things he's got to take care of before he goes out and coaches just to maintain. And
it's hard.
And it's not just that. Remember, he's got the feet, the toes, and everything else. That, I mean, he was already kind of limping around. And so I just imagine that it makes it so much tougher to coach. You really got to want to be out there now physically like he is. And John, like I said, that momentum that you had built that was helping you build and you were hoping was going to help you build past your son, past your door, right, to something that was sustainable, just feels like it's kind of crumbling.
Yeah, it does. It does. It's a big year. I don't even know I don't know what their quarterback situation is. I guess they brought in Juju Lewis, who's that redshirt freshman who committed there last year and was a five-star.
Five-star.
Yeah, so hopefully he can come in and be the guy. That's definitely what they need. So, I mean, there's a time, right, where we thought Dion was going to step away because of the health. So
it looked like it was quite possible, yeah.
So
again, I still think we might be close to that because imagining the challenges for him are just – now so great compared to the challenges for most coaches, those physical challenges that he's facing.
Yeah, and the report from Front Office Sports was that ratings for Colorado games on ESPN
4.1 million
fell 67% from 2023 to 2025.
I mean, that's obvious, and you know, you can blame it on Dion if you want to. Yeah,
they were 3-9 last year.
Been a ton of factors. Yeah, you've had two losing seasons now, and just the 1-9-3.
Over the prediction from Vegas 4.5 over under this year. So, and they're up against their applications. I will say, as somebody just went through this, Colorado as a university is killing.
And that merch was selling.
Oh my god,
that merch is. Kids, you can't tell me that the merch numbers aren't up.
Kids want to go to Colorado.
And it was dead. Weren't they winning 0-1 game before he got there? So even 3-4 win seasons
are an improvement.
This is actually
an improvement
from where they were. But clearly now what they're going to do is see if they can get him out of there. Can we get someone else now to come in and maybe salvage some of
the
momentum and build on where we are now is what it feels like they're
doing.
He got
him off the floor.
He did. For that part, I think most folks thought maybe, and I'm sure he thought when he first got there, that it would last a little bit longer here.
Yeah.
Again, there's been some, you know, you got other things that have happened to him in terms of physically and everything else, so it's made it tougher.
Yeah.
But it was always going to be a challenge once you get post-kids. We said that. What are you going to do after Shadoo is gone?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Anyway, I wanted to pass it along and let you guys enjoy that speech. Got a lot more to come. Jason Fitz going to join us at 11:25, talk to him about the NFL and more. J&J, 92.5 ESPN.
Talked a little bit about Grind City Media being over at the University of Memphis yesterday, having a chance to talk to Charles Huff, to Dr. Ed Scott, who I believe Gary Parrish had the chance to talk to, and Jason Munns over the Commercial Appeal has written a little bit about that interview. And there was one detail I thought that was very interesting, John, you and I have not talked about. You had said, and I think we agreed with you there at the time, that if that Protect College Sports Act had passed, or you had, you know, in terms of part of what came down would be restricted movement, right? Teams not moving out of the ACC because they're stuck there. Nobody wants to do 5 years of independence before they move to another power conference. We're talking the Florida States and the Clemsons. That wouldn't necessarily be good for Memphis because what you've always wanted was chaos if you were Memphis, right? You wanted realignment, teams moving, and hopefully spots opening up for you in the Power Four. He was asked about conference realignment and the Protect College Sports Act. Talked about it, saying he believes Memphis is in a good spot. I'm reading from Munns' article over at commercialappeal.com. I believe it's in a mailbag, as a matter of fact. It's in a good spot if there is major realignment movement related to the Protect College Sports Act. Here's the direct quote. If there is movement now and the plates shift I feel really good about where we sit and who is in our bubble with some schools like a South Florida, Boise, and some others. I like the company we're in right now.
Yeah.
The thing is, if it passes, certainly with the language that it had,
yep.
and Claire, we did not get a vote, maybe we're talking about this again in September, but if it had, then you wondered about
yes.
chaos. You wondered about shifting, if there would be much of anything, because number one, you'd have conferences capped off at 19, a member of 19 schools, but then number two, would it keep a Florida State or a Clemson, those schools, from wanting to make the jump
yep.
to the SEC, which they've said in the past, they clearly, whether it's SEC, Big Ten, they want it out, and they've sued for to try to do so. And so, I trust Ed here. It's the same thing we've said. You want chaos is what he said. You want mm-hmm. movement.
Mm-hmm.
But how much you're going to get is going to be the question. And will there be enough for schools like Memphis, South Florida to be able to get in where they fit in at that point?
Yeah.
Is the question.
Yeah, and that's what
we don't know.
We don't know. We don't know if this thing is even going to pass, right?
Right.
And it got punted to next month. And it's like, even when it does, by the time it does pass, what is the language going to be? it's impossible to know that. But our initial hunches about this seem to be correct, which is if realignment is frozen, it's bad for Memphis. If realignment is frozen 6 months from now, but you can move in the first 6 months, that's great for Memphis. That's actually the best news for Memphis, because that would create a mad scramble.
Yeah.
If you have 6 months to get out, it's all hell breaking loose. And so, but again, that's what the Protect College Sports Act is trying to avoid.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure how that would square with any part of their mission statement here.
He also touched on something, and Munns pointed out that I'm so glad he did, because I've thought it's common sense. It's something we haven't talked a ton about. But conference scheduling for football,
mm-hmm.
to where Pernetti in the American, they've kept it this way for the time being, where Memphis is playing, South Florida, Navy, Tulane, all either on the road or all either at home. And what that has done is create an imbalance that this year, John, hurts you, right?
Yep.
You're in one of those years where they're all on the road, having all these games. It would seem like to me, we've said that, had this conversation, that the American, looking to prop up its best schools, and certainly the ones that are the most invested, South Florida, Memphis, both at full rev share, obviously Tulane, you want to give them a schedule that doesn't break bad that way, not completely to the extreme. And frankly, the years where they've got all the home games, it's such an advantage, takes away from some of those other teams. Ed Scott has talked to Pernetti about balancing that back out, because it's gotten to a point now where it's hurting you. And this year you face South Florida, Navy, and Tulane all on the road. When you add that to the Boise State and the UNLV games, both on the road, it is a tall order for Charles Huff in his first year. But for the American, you can control that, seemingly, if you've got that relationship with the commissioner that, of course, looks at the top schools in the American and values them in a way that these are going to be the schools that can represent us in the college football playoff. The problem is that you're so fast to go help those schools, they make a college football playoff, and they're even telling you at their media days they want out of there.
Yep.
So how? But Ed Scott has said he has talked to Pernetti about changing that in the future, where it's a little bit more balanced. John, they need to do it. It's great in the years where it breaks your way and they're all here.
Yep.
Ryan Silverfield couldn't take advantage, by the way. Could not take advantage of that.
Yep.
Kills you in the years where they're all on the road. Need to balance that out. It's just common sense, and I'm glad it's been talked at least about
yes.
to Pernetti from Ed Scott.
Yeah, I like it.
It's just been dumb.
Yes.
The last couple of years.
So, always great to hear from Ed Scott. We're hoping to have him on the show here in a couple of weeks as they're getting ready to kick off their football season. And I think it'll be the week of the first home game there against Arkansas State. So
good.
Looking forward to having him in. But yeah, interesting. It's always interesting to listen to Ed Scott wherever he's talking. So good stuff there. We'll come back with the rundown, and then Jason Fitz is going to join us at 11:25. We'll talk to him about the NFL, what's going on with him.
Clarification, Jonah Dillon's story of a commercial appeal. We'll make sure I've got the author correct on this story of a commercial appeal from Ed Scott, Jonah Dillon.
Yep. All right, we'll come back. J&J, 90.9 FM, ESPN.